Okay, welcome everybody. I think we'll get started, although I'm having trouble with one person being added to the group. So I shared my screen. We'll see how this all works with everybody here. So far I got 10 people online and stuff. So I've done this with smaller groups with a few students. I gave a broad invitation. So we've got lots of different people, from faculty members to PhD graduate students and some undergraduate students. So I have the agenda here where we'll go through basic Python and show you how to do some live coding and try to make this very interactive. So we'll get tired by the end of the day, at least I will get tired from talking. So I guess today is May 18th, 2020, and I'm David Deline. I gave you my virtual background for the Crifford Hall 422, which we should be doing this in, where we could all be there together. But since we can't, we'll see how this Zoom works. And instead of having everybody do introductions, I would like to try these breakout rooms. And what I would like you to do in the breakout room is introduce yourself. I'll give you about 3 minutes. I have four rooms, although, hold on a second, I will maybe, let's see, I think I got that working. I think Kendra has joined now. Anyway, I'll try to put you in breakout rooms, and okay, except I have people here. And the idea of the breakout room is to do two things: introduce everybody that's in the room. Some of them have two, some people have three in here. So maybe I'll just do this again. Hold on. Can I reassign the room? I deleted one of the rooms, and I'll try to put four in one of them. See how that works. So now I have three rooms with three to four people in them. So I'll open up the rooms and do that and give you a couple minutes. And the other thing to try is to make sure everybody can do the Jupyter Hub type of thing. So try that out and try the initial program on the Renan and Dunanis. So you should be able to open up Jupyter Hub, type a couple lines so you can do plus or minus and some simple things with Jupyter Hub. And if you can't, text me or first ask the people that are there if you can use Jupyter Hub. Introduce yourself, make sure everybody can use Jupyter Hub, and then I will play around with this. We got the agenda here, so we got to go until 10:30, and then if people want to drop off, you get to see the idea of what this is, but we'll go through all the basic programming, everything in Python, and then at the end, I have a program that I've been working with one of my graduate students, Shankar. You should be able to do everything that required for that program after completing this. So it's pretty comprehensive. So let me open up the breakout rooms and I'll try to work with everybody. And then I'll try to pull you back in about 3 minutes. And if you don't, you can exit and come back. So we'll try this. Any questions before I send everybody to a breakout room? You can always chat me if you try to open up the group chat, and you can privately chat me or chat to the group is a good way. And particularly if you have questions for this. Okay, I need to do this and then I gotta admit other people. So we'll see y'all in about 3 minutes. So talk to each other. Do I get to break up? Okay, Kendra, can you hear me now? Maybe not. Let me see if I can chat. Huna.
Yes, I could hear you. Thank you.
Oh, you can hear me. Yeah, everybody else is in a breakout room. Do you have a GitHub account? Because you need access to do the programming for that.
I am from chemistry department. I am very new to this learning programs.
Okay. Do you want to try to create one?
I'll try to. Actually, I'm heading to department. I'll take 3 to 4 minutes to reach the department so I can use my PC over there. Right now, I'm walking to the department.
Yes. But we want to do a lot of coding. So if you go to GitHub and create an account, send me a username, that will help. So you can see what we're doing. Because you won't get too much out of it.
Yeah, I will.
I chatted it to you. I'm going to bring everybody back.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll use that link and I'll create an account.
Yeah, soon. Send it to me.
Sure.
GitHub. All right. Rooms are closing. Sorry. I left you guys in the rooms a little bit too long. I was trying to get everything working. I think Kendra has joined us now. Internet problems and stuff. So all the rooms are closed in 20 seconds to
Professor, I can't hear you.
You can't?
I don't know what's the problem with my desktop. Or
I can hear you. Can everybody else hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, Michael said yes, and yeah. Must be on your side then, Shanko. Okay. Everybody's back from the breakout rooms, and I will there's a chat participants. Okay. Wonderful. Oh, okay. We got Lance. Welcome, Lance. I see you're admitted. Everybody is admitted, I guess, to the room. Okay. If you want, text me stuff to everybody in the group. I'm texting a couple people privately, so hopefully this works. To do that, and I have the text windows open and stuff, so you should be able to see that. I have a lot of different things going on, so I hope if anybody got questions about the breakout room, the Jupyter Hub, I'll give you a brief overview right now. Unidata set this up. Jui at Unidata has done this. And I can see a bunch of people have servers running right now. And a few people would not join. So so everybody has a server up and running. Including Jury, that's helping us out with this. So they can see us running. Hopefully we got, I think, 14 sessions going in on the Jupyter Hub. So when you get to Jupyter Hub, you should be able to start a session and get a Python notebook like this. And the first thing, let's do variables and assignments. I'm recording these Jupyter notebooks. So we're running Jupyter Labs on a Jupyter Hub, and we're going to use Jupyter notebooks to do the programming. So anyway, so people could participate when they want, jump in and out, text me privately. But what you should be able to do is we're going to start from the very basics of this, of just variables, data types, built-in function this morning. And then we'll have a coffee break and then go into some more live stuff. And we'll get to prodding and loops and reading data in this afternoon. A little bit of reading data with the pandas data frames. So keep texting me stuff or try to raise your hand. I'll have some questions. The idea is to get a lot of stuff out of this, you need to type in all the commands and do everything as we go here. So one of the first things you should do is assign a variable and a couple variables here. So I suppose I should put my right age maybe. I'm not sure even how old I am. But if you go and type a couple lines into one of these that you should be in a coding bracket that up here, it says coding. It's not marked down a raw. You should have this open with these parentheses here. And then if you type these in, and instead of hitting enter like this, if you hit shift enter, it actually runs the code and you'll see this too here. So why don't we see if people can try to do that? And if you can, then maybe give me a thumbs up in the chat message. You should be able to do a thumbs up. And make sure you can write and do that sort of thing. Or write into the chat window, thumbs up. That would be good. Or help or something that say no good. If we're doing this in a room, I could go around and see people, good, thumbs up, something, and let me know that you can do that in the Jupyter Hub. Okay, anybody need more time? I need to go fast, keep you guys entertained here. So variable names can only contain letters, numbers, and underscores. They can't start with a digit, and in Python, they are case sensitive. So age with a capital A is different than age with a lowercase a to begin with. The underscores at the beginning have special meaning, so don't start your variables with underscores until you understand that meaning. So Python has a built-in function called print, and so let's print out our variable that we just described here. You should be able to do that and get a sentence to print out. Remember, hit the shift enter to enter the names, to execute the command. So here's your command. This is what is printed out from that command. When you first ran it, you didn't get anything, but now you got a print statement with this function called print. So, and it automatically adds a space between items. So this is a convention. You don't have to add the space before and after is like you have to in several other languages. So it automatically does that. And then words wrap around to the next line. So when you're in the print command, it goes to the next line. But the variables must be created before they can be used. So if you do print last name, you won't get anything there. And I think, make sure. We'll make sure every, let's see here, ready. Oh, I lost them. Oh, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I think I lost a bunch of people. Okay, I just re-mentioned Chanko. Can you hear me now, Chanko? I hear you talking, but I see you talking, but I don't hear you yet. And you're not muted. Okay. Okay, we see the errors here. I was trying to fix Shanko's stuff. So this gives you an error message here. So usually the last line is the most informative here. Last name is not defined. And we can look at this in more detail later on. The order of execution is very important in Python. You have one cell after the others that go through this. Remember, it's all the code that you previously typed within a notebook. And it runs from the top to bottom. So it's an interpreted language, so it interprets things as you go through this. So if you do something backwards and do something like print my variable, try to execute that, or maybe I should probably better just put it in one command and then assign the value, it still gives you an error because you have it backwards. So remember that goes in order. And so try that. We could do some stuff like age equals age plus 3 and so you can add stuff to your variables that you create. So remember, it remembers when you assign that later on. So remember, go back, you can have multiple ones of these windows, and if you want to open this, you should have hit the plus sign here. So and then do the Python 3. So I had a question about that. So you can open up multiple of these tabs, and I have a whole bunch here online, and we have a bunch of data that's given here. So you can open and close and rename these tabs. Rename the notebooks like that. So a couple of other things at the beginning I didn't show you. So you can rename the tabs, you can open up new ones, and you can save them. They'll be persistent on here, and there's some functions up around the top to download them. So hope that works. And other people can answer the questions too. If I see Shanko answer that question. So I'll try to get through this using variables and single characters. We want to, do a couple of things. Let's set a variable called atom name equals helium. And then we can print that out. I go back out and print atom. And I'll index this with 0. And you'll see that you print out the first letter of atom, of the name atom. So the first letter in this would be H for helium. So the position is the index of this. And Python is zero-based index. So all your variables, everything starts at 0 and not 1 like you would have in Fortran. So we have that set for print out names. And the number inside is called the index. So let's use a slice to get a substring of data. So this is very important for accessing variables, is slicing variables up. It's called a substring, and what we did there is just get one character. So a lot of times these we can treat them like a whole list of arrays of indexes values. So we take a slice by a start and stop. So it's start, colon, stop within our index, which is the first element. So your start is the first element and stop is the second. And the difference between the start and stop is the length of your slice. So let's do this again. Say atom name equals sodium and print atom name. And then we're going to take a slice that starts at 0 and goes to 3. And so we get a 3 characters, H-E-L. Oh, and I spelled atom name wrong. Let me see this again. Atom name. Get my right. And print atom. It remembered what I did last time when I had helium in there. And it didn't reassign it because I spelled the name wrong. So if I don't have my typo, we get sodium. So we can do built-in functions like linked, print the linked of helium. And you get the linked, which is a built-in function for this. And again, remember Python is case sensitive. And so are the names like link, names of functions like link are case sensitive also. And we sometimes have a convention for upper and lower cases and when they are used. You want to use good naming conventions. So instead of just saying some variable, and you can assign anything, any variable name, but we want to have things be readable. So you really want to use variable names that make sense in your naming convention. So you can use any name you want, but then it becomes very unreadable. So please use good names for doing this. Okay, here's a assignment for everybody. Maybe send me a text of your answer when you get it. So you can just privately text me your answer for this. And what I have is I want you to fill out the following set of commands. So I have the following, and what I'd like you to do is tell me what X, Y, and swap are. So and I'll give you an example as we go through these lines of code. So at first, it's gonna be X is 1.0, then it's not defined, and not, maybe you can put a comma between them. Okay, so that would be the first line. And I'd switch it to raw if I don't want to have this be a code. And so you can see what the values are. And that's what would be given to X equals 1. And then maybe you have the number sign, which we use for comments. So what would you have for Y equals 1. What would you have in that line? So maybe text me that or text me all of them so I can see that you're keeping up here on what the values would be as we go through this code. Okay, I got a couple answers here from people. So I'll assume that we have a good to go. Let's see. The solution. Just so I have completeness. I'll give you the solution there. X is always 1 until you change it equal to Y, which would be 3. Y is not defined until it gets defined. Then here swap equals X. So then that becomes defined. You switch around X and Y, so X becomes equal to Y, and then you have Y equals to swap. So it should be good there. Okay, just to tell you for completeness, if you can assign A equals 1, 2, 3, and you can try to print out A sem 1, so this should give you 2, right? If you try that, it says the int is not scriptable. So in Python, the variables get assigned a type of value automatically. So it's 123, not a string of 1, 2, 3. So you can't do that to get the output of the variable. So if you wanted to do it correctly, you would have to say A equals string 1, 2, 3 and convert it to a string and then print out A comma 1. And then you'll get the 2 that you do. So remember, choose your variables wisely. You can do some practice slicing of the data and everything. There's high, low slicing of the values. So you can do something also when you do print. You can slice like 1, 2 to get, why did that not work? I should not try something different. Oh, 1, 3, because this is important too. When you slice, the last value is not included. So you include the 2 and the 1 and 2, but 3 is the end and it's not included in your slice. So be careful that you might think it's 1 and 2, but the 1 is inclusive, but not the 2. So these are the key parameters. So variables can store data, print the data. They persist between cells, between lines. Variables are created before they use, and you can index the values either in a character and slice these data and use very good names and types of data. So we're now like half an hour behind already, so I'm going to try to give you guys a break in at 10:30, so we'll have a coffee break then. But I got 2 more things to do here: data types and conversions and built-in functions. So we just want to try to get through data types here. So text me if you got problems. Everybody good on this? Should be able to understand variables now. The next thing is data types and conventions. So I'll start a new data type and type convention here. To distinguish that we're talking about a new subject. So we want to go through and do see how programs store the data, how we convert from data types, differences between integers and floating point numbers, and the difference between numbers and characters, and use some built-in functions to convert between different data types. So any questions about some basic stuff before I go on? Take a 3-second pause. I'll look and admit people back in. So any questions? Okay, data types, I'll go on. Oops, gotta make sure I listen to everything. Looks good. I got one new people I got to add. I'll try this for, sometimes I go back and don't see all the messages. So, okay, now Shanko can hear us. Maybe by the end of the day, we have everything working, maybe actually by the coffee break. So, I'm gonna go on here and see if, data types, let's do print type 52 and do the shift return. You see this is a class int, so that's data type int. You can do fitness equals average, and you put that in single quotes, and you do print type fitness, and you should see this is a crass str. So computer people don't like to include vowels in them, so don't like long names, so this stands for string. So what we can do with different types of variables is you can do some math on them, print 5 minus 3, get 2 out of that. But if you do something like print hello, minus h, and you do this, you can't subtract the h from the string, so that doesn't work. So subtraction on strings does not work. But let's try something like full name equals David plus and I need to have, don't mix my single and double quotes here. And let me go back and I will print a full name. So, you know, the plus sign works for concatenation, but you can't have a minus sign to take away, to remove stuff. So some operations are defined for certain types of variables. And you can actually do multiplication to do that. So let's do a separator equals the equal sign. And what times that by 10. And then let's print out the separator. Man, I must have misspelled it. There we go. If I spell it right, we'll get it on there. So you can, it's a, you know, just 10 additions together. So strings have length, but numbers don't. So you can, you know, print stuff like the length of full name. You get 12. But you can't print the length of an integer like 52. You get an error. So numbers you must convert to strings, and you can't add numbers and strings together. So something like print 1 plus 2. Won't work because you're mixing integers and data types. So if you were going to do that, you got to convert. So print 1 plus int 2. So if we do that, then we converted this string to an integer, and you can print that out. Likewise, you could do the opposite and do string of 1 and add that to 2. Okay, but you'll get 1, 2, and not 3 because you're concatenating the two variables. So you can't really mix strings and integers, but we can mix strings and floating points. I'll show you this by using a print half. So the second variable, we got 1 as an integer and 2 as a float, so we can mix the integers and floats together. Likewise, we can do this when we use 3 squared, 3.0, and we want to square that. So we get 9 for that. So we're mixing integers and floats. So the variables can change when things are assigned to them. Sorry, variables can only change types when something is assigned to them. So when variables are assigned is when you get that. So first equals 1, you get assigned that. Second equals 5 times first. First equals 2, and you can print out first and 5. So you know, this the first is equal to 2 because it's been reassigned as you go, but the type of variable doesn't change unless you assign something to it. So what type is fraction? So how would you find out what type a value is? We can use a built-in function called type. So if you want to use find out 3.4, you can find out the type of that value, which is a floating point. So, and if you added a float and the variable, you can do these together. So, can you text me, give you an assignment here, what type would result be here? If you have result equals 3.25 plus 4, and we want to print that out, so result, print result is type result. So what would result be here? I won't show you the answer, but type me, and if I put result in here, so we should get, would we get 7 or will we get 7.25? So is that a type float or a type integer? So text me the answer, either the number and the value of what it is. So choosing these types are very important for these numbers. So you know, if you want to do numbers that are integers, you want to use an integer for years, and sometimes you want to use floats. You know, what do you want to use for populations of cities? It's very important to choose the different numbers. So everybody's typing me the solutions for that. So a lot of times you want to use integers from a year, folds for fractions of days, characters for something like serial numbers for an instrument. A lot of times you want to use floating point numbers to represent very large numbers of people. And if you're going to have fractions, you want to do the value. So Python has another operator we call it, a whole number for division. So we can do a couple of different things here. Print. Five, and so the four division is with two division signs, five like this, you'll get one here, where if you do the same thing and you use the regular division, you get a different answer, which is you do floating point division. So these operators do different divisions. And then if you really want to be fancy, you can do a remainder operator too. Like this, to get two as the remainder of five divided by three. So this is a little bit different. We're using Python 3 now with the division operator. Is different in Python 3 than it is in Python 2. So be careful on these. You want to convert strings to numbers and do these values. So here's a little example question. So let me see if I can put this in the a question here. If you have the number of subjects, there's a number of subjects taking part in a study. So number subject is 600, and you got number per survey is 42. What would the expression be? Write an expression that calculates the number of surveys needed to reach everybody. So you got number of subjects is 600, and number per survey. So how do we get the total number of surveys you need to reach everybody? So try to text me the result of what expression you would have in here. So that we have the number of subjects that we would have. So number surveys equals what? So to be clear on this one, and I misspelled my surveys. We want it to be an integer value so that we get back. So how many surveys do we need exactly in terms of an integer value? Remember, if we take 5 divided by 3, we're going to get a floating point number. So I want an integer number of the surveys for this example. So the hint is you should get a number like 14, 15, 16, an actual number of values. Okay, anybody's following along? I had a couple answers. What would the answer be? Okay, got a good answer, 15. So the solution of the code is we want the number subjects, and we do integer division, number per survey, and then we add 1 to it. And of course I misspelled something. Get my quotes in the right place here. Still don't have the quotes in the right place. So number of subjects. Number per survey. And number of subjects is not. Oh, that's number of subjects, number per survey, and number of surveys. Number of subjects is not defined. Oh, I better put my number in here. Okay, finally got it with a couple of these. So okay. And of course, you could use a function to round up as opposed to round down. And you can do things many different ways to come up with this answer. So This is just one way to use the divisions without using functions. If it's exactly divisible, good question. There's better ways to do it, probably. Okay, so we're gonna try to get to the break here. And we got one more section to cover to move on to built-in functions and help. So maybe I can do this in 10 quick minutes here to look at this built-in help and functions. So functions and help. So how can we use these built-in functions? How can I find out what we do? What kind of errors can occur in programs? And explain the purpose of a function. So let's start to use functions. So it's always good to use documentation for your functions. So this function is not executed by Python. You can put the comments at the end. Anything after that is ignored. So I like to put the comments by themselves. Functions can take zero or more arguments. Arguments are the inputs to the functions. So length we saw before takes one functions. Int string float, create a new value from an existing value. Print takes zero or more arguments that we have. So you can do something like print. With no arguments in the function. So that's different than what we saw before. Some commonly reused functions are for math. We can do print max of 1, 2, 3, where we get a maximum of them. You can also do minimum print a, 0. Make these all strings. So we can do that. So built-in functions, we can do zero. You can figure out why we do that. When you do the minimum of strings, you get a comparison of the letters. So functions only work for a certain combination of arguments. You can get an error if you do the wrong combinations, like print maximum of 1, A, where you mix an integer and a string, you'll have that become an error. Some functions have default values. And how many decimal places you can have. So you can have round 3.712. and if I spell it right, to come out to 4, where if you want to specify the number, you can have a second argument to give you a value of 3.7 if you round it. So the second argument to round is the number of integers to have, but there are default values. So typically when you do functions, it's good to have the default. So if you want to look for help on a function, you can type help in the function name. You get some built-in functions, and then you can see if what the parameters are, or arguments are for the functions. And syntax errors are given in Python when it can't understand what you did. And I've done some of these already. When you say name equals, and in the interpreter for Jupyter Note, it automatically puts the quotes, so you have to delete them to get the error. But this is a syntax error, which is given here. You can have syntax errors if you forget the parentheses of a program. So in contrast to syntax errors is also what we call runtime errors. So we can have a runtime error if we misspell age here. So now you'll see this is not a syntax error, but it's an error in a name, and this is called a runtime error. It gives you a trace back of where they are, as opposed to just a syntax error of where the line number is that they can't understand. So two types of errors, syntax and runtime errors. In Jupyter Notes, you can have a couple of different ones. You can do something like print, let's see if I do this. If you do shift tab, so if you go over and you type round, try this, and you go shift, and you go tab over that variable of that function, it gives you some information about the function. And this is a function of Jupyter Notebooks that are there. And the other thing is important to know is every function call gives you some return value for every function call. If I could spell print right, but even if it's none, so none is your default, it means no value that's returned. So so I'll give you a couple different things to think about for the break. We'll take a coffee break here. But for the coffee break, you can think about the following. Conditions. So I'll put these things up for the break. So when you have some coffee, you can look at this. So explain in simple terms the order operation in the following program. When does the addition happen? When does the subtraction happen? And when is each function called? What is the final value of radians? So here is the program. So you can run this code and see what the result is. So see if you can do that. And I won't show you the answer. And then another question, predict what each one of these lines of code will do. I'll try to make this smaller. So here's another example. And so I'll give you these couple examples. So I'll leave that code up. So let's see if I can get. There we go. So there's your assignment. Explain what this is and do that example. And then we will do this. And I think I will have to, I'll try to read this up, but I think I gotta stop sharing my screen so I can record this part of the session. And then we'll come back for the next session. So I'm gonna stop sharing my screen, but then I won't be able to share it afterwards. I'll just leave it up like this. So I guess I'll just make one long video for today's session, because I'm not sure how to stop it. But someone knows Python better than, or Zoom better than me, and know how I can record it up to this point. I don't, maybe I can stop and, no, if I stop and start the recording, that doesn't help. They should have a, they should make the, save the recording. Anyway, coffee break now, so we'll come back in 15 minutes. If you hit stop, recording, it will create a new recording when you restart. Okay, thanks, Matt. I will try that, and I'll try to read the screen up so that we can do this. Pause is probably better. It will pause the recording. Okay, I'll try to make a new one. So, we can stop this and then people can have multiple recordings of the session. So I'll do that. And I think I need to go up here and stop that. So pause share. Oops.